Hi, this is the July 27, 2011 meeting of the Nye Beach Parking District. Derek Tokos, Community Development.
Jody George, Jovi.
Kathy Cleary, Toujours Boutique.
Dave White, City of Newport, Street Supervisor.
Tim Gross, City of Newport, Senior Project Manager.
And actually, sure, Tim, if you want to kind of talk about those two sidewalk projects, and we did cover those last week in terms of general sense of timing per the conversation you and I had. But the top two items for today's agenda were the timed parking signs, installation, you know, when that could happen, and pavement striping were the two things that we talked about last meeting is wanting to make sure we cover today, and that's why I invited Dave White to be here.
Well, you want to go ahead with that, and then maybe Dave can get out of here. Doesn't have to stick around with our discussion, although it probably is pertinent to you, too. If you want to know what I'm going to do to your street or not.
All right, yeah. Tim, go for it.
All right, the reason
might as well cover this, because we talked about this at the last meeting already, okay. So that'll give Linda and Dave team a chance to get here.
Lost Mike somewhere, too. He's floating around here somewhere.
Well, the reason that let me put this on the table because it's a whole lot easier to see. Okay. As I mentioned, this map is got Coast Highway on this end and then Coast Drive on this side, 3rd Street, 6th Street, and 9th Street. And I was doing a little thinking about getting this survey set up for doing the sidewalk improvements on 3rd Street and 6th Street. And also thinking about the drainage improvements that are going on down here and down here. And I believe we talked about lighting improvements that would come up in this area. Okay? And all of these things sort of overlap each other. And so I'm going to have a single survey pick up all of this stuff. That'll allow us to figure out what we want to do down in this corner, because I have a feeling that it would make a lot of sense to do the sidewalk improvements at the same time we do the drainage improvements, because we can fix that curb line, that curb and gutter, and those storm drains at the same time, do whatever kind of reclaiming we needed to do with the street down here. I went out and took a walk with the city engineer yesterday, because we do have a little bit of money floating out there for bike and pedestrian improvements that we may want to tie into, depending on how this looks when we get the survey done. This is the library. You can see the sidewalk goes to there and stops. There's a little piece of sidewalk right there, and there's nothing here. So if we extend our sidewalk down here completely and down here completely, this is the opportune moment to finish this piece and allow people to walk up to the library. We would get so much better costs because the contractor would already be mobilized, and I can pick that up as part of this survey. I'd probably look at this side and this side to see which side makes more sense. There's some challenges here because of this house, and you can see this all these contours are 2-foot contours. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. This is 20 feet higher than it is down here, so there's quite a hill. And then you can see how they kind of go up toward this guy's house here too, so we've got a little bit of work to do right there. But this is something that I would really like to take a look at adding in. This is the biggest problem, and of course it cut off all my contours. We did a little walk through the old sewer plant here. The stretch between here and here is the worst.
Yeah.
I think we can get through this, but this is the part that's going to take all the time for me, because it's the worst grades I have to deal with, particularly in here.
And we had at one point talked about imagining that the sidewalk actually was going to come to this side of the street there.
And you know, the bulk of the sidewalk is completed in here with a little bit of spots where it needs like a 10-foot fill-in. It's a lousy sidewalk. Because the grades in front of this building are just off the charts.
Right.
I mean, you can hardly walk them, and I don't have any disabilities. And through here, they're blocked by so many mailboxes and obstructions, it's almost impossible to even navigate the sidewalk. Whereas this is completely unobstructed, the stretch through here.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Highway 101 crossing improvements that we're planning on doing in the next couple of years. We need to improve all the crossings on 101. They're not particularly safe.
And on Coast Street.
Right now, the crossing is on the south side of the 3rd Street intersection, which places it right in the middle of the queue where people take a left turn. So I do that all the time. I'm parked right in the middle of the crossing to try and turn left on the 3rd Street. It will move to the other side of the street. It gets it out of there. And there will likely be a pedestrian island, a refuge island in the middle where that turn lane is, because nobody needs a turn lane to turn left into something that doesn't exist. And so then people will cross right across on the south side here. Now, they could cross back again and go down, but I think that it's better to overcome this challenge because in the long run, it makes a much better route.
Yes, it does.
All the way down here, especially because we have another issue in here that I think is going to be a lot more difficult to overcome than this. I can get on both sides of this slope, and I can dump as much fill as I want to over this in order to make that work. Here I'm cutting into a hillside into private property. This is all owned by the city. This is all owned by somebody else.
And it's wet year-round.
It's wet. There's a creek that runs through here. And so we might not be able to do anything on this side. And then we could have that continuous sidewalk coming down through here. There's probably some fill-ins we still want to do. We probably want to complete, you know, the 5-foot section of the sidewalk here that's not there. Those kind of things to make that make sense, but this seems to be the better route. I generally can do planning off of a topographic survey like this, but this is all done by LIDAR where they do an overflyover and they generate these contours. But when it gets into the detail about, you know, I have a utility pole in the way of a pedestrian crossing, I need to know that.
Yeah.
So part of the survey that is generated with this, probably the very first thing I'm going to do is meet with the Public Utilities District and say, guys, I already know I got a vault right here I got to deal with, here. You know, I got a utility pole right here, that's right in the middle of the crossing. I'm going to have them shift those things. So that's the process by which we're going to start. I'll probably get this out to surveyors this week. They probably will begin work, whoever we end up selecting, because it's large enough for I'll have to get 3 bids. I want to get them to start working on this, probably not next week, but the following. It'll probably take them at least 2 or 3 weeks to do the whole survey, and then they'll get it back to me the 4th week. So we're talking a month before I even have a document to start working off of.
Yeah, you should look at, like you said, completing the sidewalk at least down to here. Then you could put a crosswalk in and transfer them back over.
Well, I wouldn't want to do a crosswalk here if I have one here.
Or if you got one up there, it doesn't really,
you know, we're going to look at all the areas that it makes sense to do fill-in for sidewalk. I really hate having, you know, 10-foot stretches, 20-foot stretches.
Yeah.
If we can get
you
it
get
done
started
now.
And then you can't.
6th Street is essentially that same issue. It's really pretty easy to run sidewalk all the way through to this point. Once we get here, it's going to probably need to be on the south side of the road. And it gets really hairy in here because of the grades of the embankment on this side and the grades going down the hill here. And when we come to High Street here, this whole corner really needs to be redone. There's structures in here, catch basin structures that are in the way. And we're going to do a little bit of curb and gutter work here in order to get this to work for a sidewalk at all.
Will that help with some of the water, too?
Yeah, it probably will. And then when we come down here, we would likely run the sidewalk probably on both sides to the High Street here because there's so many people that walk out of this park area. I'd like to see some sort of crossing here or here. I don't know how this will work yet. We need to take a look at site distances and stuff.
Yeah, because you've got a blind area coming
up
the hill right there. It's not a good thing.
We need to be really careful about that. But the fact of the matter is people will cross here.
Yeah.
If we can get them, if we can put sidewalks on both sides, because I need to come down on this side, but I can do the sidewalk over here, and then people are most of the time going this way.
Right.
Maybe we can get them to cross down at the intersection where they really belong.
And you'll have crosswalk down there across Coast Street.
Yeah, here.
This
down
way?
Here, yes.
I'll have to take a look at that.
We talked a little bit last week about, and I went home and watched here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was frightening just to watch people crossing. Really,
I cross
really
there all the time, and it's a little bit of a challenge. Maybe we can mark it a little bit better.
Well, this whole stretch, too, I realize that's off topic, but boy, I would love to see a crosswalk at every street.
Right to my cottage.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the safest one, but the more I look, Linda,
see,
I mean, there are hordes of people crossing
there,
and cars skeeching and stopping. And
illegally, at every intersection, there's a crosswalk.
Even if it's not.
And all that really
all
means
across,
is that when you get hit by the car in the intersection,
right.
You have, you know,
you have a
leg to stand on to sue somebody, you know.
Wow.
And if you put it that perspective, you can mark the crosswalk, but in order to mark what would essentially be a mid-block crossing, if I don't have any traffic control stopping the vehicles going through the intersection, it's the through leg of the intersection. To follow the MUTCD, I really should have pretty elaborate signage indicating it as a pedestrian crossing area.
Right.
Pedestrian crossing arrows coming down, depending on the speed of the road, they have advanced warning signs. It gets very, very expensive. That's all I'm saying. So when you put crossings in, number one, we would want to put them in and mark them, because people are more likely to cross in a marked crossing than an unmarked crossing, mm-hmm. at the best sight distance locations available, at the marked intersections, if possible, where there's actually traffic control stopping them. So if I have to make somebody walk a block to cross at a stop sign, I will. You know, and we could even mark things. No, don't cross here if you have to. It doesn't work well because people will cross wherever they want to. But more signage doesn't necessarily help.
Is it possible to put stop signs right at the arch then? Because those are both kind of unmarked crosswalks on both sides of that.
No, because you don't have a distance long enough there. You'd be backing the traffic up.
It's only one block.
Because those are crosswalks, but you can't see them. It's just marked by the color of brick.
But it seems to me that right in this stretch, people drive slowly. It's when they hit
here. It's when they go that hill.
There's just this milling people back and forth between the Mundo side and our side, and I see them start at Greg and Lori's Mundo corner and they walk up to the bead shop. So they're not just going across the street. They're
doing angles.
They're doing this.
And they
long
just act like they are entitled to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, oh, stop.
It's really scary.
I'm going to draw a line in the sand because it's outside of the project area.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
We just want you to be aware of it.
It's what I call scope creep. I can't afford to do all of it. Mm-hmm. And I think we pick one piece at a time and keep our construction for the sidewalks within these boundaries. Take a look at the drainage improvements that are correspond to that and maybe do them at the same time. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I wanted to ask about was the sidewalk that is basically failing in the Nye Beach area, right along the side of the dry cleaners here where it's literally crumbling to pieces, maybe some other areas. Is that something that you would be interested in this including in this contract? Because this is really being paid for through the parking district money, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't know if we have enough half funds to do
half
that.
Of it, yeah.
It's parking fund money, but it's half, and then the other half system development charges.
Those types of things become so efficient to do with part of a contract exactly. like this.
Yeah. Well, if we have the money, I think that would be a good idea, like the laundry.
Yeah, I mean, especially that one. That one's just completely busted.
Now, are you talking the dry cleaner side?
The dry cleaner side, the dry cleaner side. I'm just talking about the stuff that is literally broken and gone.
It's a dangerous, it's not very long, but it's
only a couple panels, and we may want to look and see if there are a couple little items like that that make sense to have done as part of the sidewalk project, because the contractor's mobilized, the concrete is there, he's got his equipment, he's got his materials. It's so cheap to do then compared to calling somebody and having them come out in terms of the cost per square foot.
So same thing with this, though, if that comes out of
I would probably bid the project with this, and I would include this as an additive alternative, and I would include this as an additive alternative.
That would sure be nice to have.
It would be. It would just be so terrific. And
but I just wanted to give you the gist of where I was starting, what the time frame's looking like, some of the challenges that we had. I would expect to build this thing sometime this fall and have all the drainage improvements and the sidewalk done before the rains really kick in.
There's another part, though, that you need to include on this part here, Tim. Just look at the aspect you were talking about, the people coming out here. You're trying to direct them onto the sidewalk. If you would look at putting sidewalk on this one side here, also coming out of skateboard park.
Can't do it.
Yes, you can.
I can't, there's a culvert there.
I understand. Yes, you can. Just a second. Yes, hang on. Because then we increase the elevation in there where the culvert is at. We can increase the elevation of the belly in the road where the water always runs over, which is going to help us on our drainage situation back here.
But I would have to extend the culvert because I don't have the width in the road to put a sidewalk adjacent to that.
Which is not.
It's permitting. You're not going to build it this fall if I have the permit to extend a culvert in that creek. I got to go through the Army Corps of Engineers to permit that, and that's a 4-month lead time.
No.
We can do that someday. What I'd rather do is just stub it down High Street and not get to the culvert, because I have the room to do that.
Right, but we can talk about that a little bit later. Because I have some other issues on that road.
Let's go here.
That's a tough little road right there, anyway.
That's a
terrible road. I do not want to direct traffic out this way. I want to direct the traffic out the other way.
Make it a one-way?
That's correct.
That'd be really nice.
That's a great idea.
In only.
Then you've narrowed it down to where you've got one lane in there in the first place. Because then they can turn coming down off the hill and go this way. Mm-hmm. I hate that intersection.
It's terrible.
Coming out here or going this way with a blind corner coming off the top.
It's too bad it can't just be a path. Though I guess you do need in
yeah,
and
we
out.
Can't, we, yeah, we yeah. can't really block the route.
I could do it if we made it one way, but I need a director from the city engineer to do that then. Yeah. That might be a really good plan for High Street.
Yes, because what's increased all of this is when they built the condos in here and everything else, and their parking and everything is in the back. They've increased the traffic on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 times. Mm-hmm. Get those people to go out the proper direction.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Sounds like a great safety
improvement. And then show them off. Well, you said it couldn't be done.
Not the way it is.
Well, you guys have been thinking about
it. But the thing that we'd have to put in also is we would have to put a barrier fence included in the sidewalk on that side because of the creek.
Only if I cross the creek. You're way outside of the scope of this job. I'm not going to sidewalk all the way down there, Robert.
It needs to all tie into your scope here, though.
It's just like a piece.
This is what your guys' money I'm talking about.
You're going to hear me talk about this over and over again.
This is.
I got funding for this and this. I have funding for this and this. I have funding for this lighting in here. I may have funding for this, but I don't have funding for this.
I understand that.
Or for my crosswalks.
Or for your
but
crosswalks.
But those are future, those like are future. Maybe near future possibilities.
And you know, it's something we probably should look at as part of a kind of a plan of
just
how the walking area around here works. We might want to take a look at how the pedestrian traffic actually functions here when we do this sidewalk. So we're just not building concrete. We're right. actually mm-hmm. thinking about how pedestrians will use the area.
Mm-hmm. And we were also thinking lighting all the way up, not just to here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Whatever. Whatever we can get that for, that's the next question of PUD, because once I get the survey, I can identify what's here, and we can talk about lighting and relocation of poles and vaults as part of the overall project concept. Mm-hmm. We already meet with PUD now. We met with them a month ago, and we're meeting with them regularly, quarterly, to talk about future projects so they can be prepared for stuff like this.
And is that kind of new for you doing screen. That?
Yes, it's the first time we've ever done that, yeah.
Makes really good sense.
Yeah. Sure does.
My next meeting, I already have a conflict for, so we already have rescheduled.
Well, at least you rescheduled it.
Yeah. So that's
it's hard to fit one more meeting in.
The bulb outs have been an issue at this corner.
They're terrible.
Are those going to be part of the project with the storm drainage? You and I had talked months ago about just cutting them back in size because they're too big. We don't want to lose them.
Don't have the money to do that.
Okay.
The estimates on the storm drainage were for fixing the storm drainage only. You know, it didn't include doing any kind of sidewalk work or anything. Even this bulb out here, which is really the drainage problem, mm-hmm. I didn't include changing this. Rather, I changed how the drainage approaches this. Dave and I had talked about this. There's a storm line that runs here, and there's a storm line that runs here, and this one is really not used to the capacity by which it was designed.
So you're going to divert to that?
We would, instead of taking this catch basin and running it out here to this pipe, which is hopelessly surcharged, we would build a manhole over the top of this pipe and run the catch basin this way, and it would go into this one and could always drain even when this is surcharged. Mm-hmm. And then we would fix, there's a weir in here that's supposed to divert some of the water, and we would fix this weir till it actually functions as a weir.
Good idea.
And then it will, then we will increase the capacity of this and this. Well, we will increase the capacity of this pipe because we'll be diverting some of it into this one. Mm-hmm. And so then hopefully it won't back up here so badly. And when we do the work here, both in this catch basin here and in the structure behind the curb, I'm hoping we will deal with the bulk of the overland drainage issues. Part of the other sidewalk work I want to take a look at is where we really are losing our, Dave and I had talked about this yesterday, where we really don't have much curb reveal anymore. That's part of the issue, where it's overlaid so many times that there's only this much curb left.
Yeah, see, they killed us when they put that approach in to the other establishment also, the pizza place.
Oh, right.
And a little store there.
Yeah.
They killed us with what little bit, because they made an opening in that right through there.
Right. Yeah, and it just comes
and then hops. Yeah, hops and gets onto the side.
So, Dave and I are going to go walking. And we talked about this next week. Don't look surprised.
Oh, next week.
Yeah. Right after this meeting, Dave and I are going along. We need to look at this.
Right.
And I may come back to you and say, hey, we might want to do, you know, X, Y, or Z as part of this. You know how this curb or this sidewalk sort of gets to there and just sort of stops.
And that's a terrible slope. It's very dangerous.
Tim, another part that ended up happening here, which I don't know
Derek was really informing us. When they did the skate project down there, they ran out of funds.
Oh.
The project was supposed to go all the way up to 6th Street, but they ran out of funds at the time, so they stopped it there. I don't know, but Derek could probably find out what the original plans were for this section. I don't know what that design was at that time or anything else.
That's very abrupt right there.
Yes, that's where the funds
people
run
don't
out.
Want to walk any further. They think, what is that out there?
Yeah. So I don't know if they had plans of this being continued up a little farther, up to the laundromat or what.
I think we need to look at that a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those things we can add as an additive alternate. We have a certain amount of money in the budget for this. If we can get under that and add all this stuff onto it and make it make sense, and it's generally contiguous to the project.
It should be nice to have that whole
I'd be inclined
view.
To do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know.
This does sound very efficient.
This is both a drainage issue and a mm-hmm. sidewalk issue.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's a collection. Know? One of the collection points that is terrible for the drainage. Another issue that had come up also, you mentioned these bulb outs mm-hmm. being cut back.
Nasty.
There
that
was a screw up on these bulb outs
yes.
in the first place. They are a foot too large.
Well, that's nice to know.
Well, and the fact that yeah. changed after the bulb outs to a one-way street, didn't it?
Yeah.
Post
I'm sorry.
Bulb out. This changed to a one-way street after this was built.
Right.
And that's
yes.
a little
yes.
bit of the issue.
Yes.
And they were a foot too big because Dave did a lousy job of reviewing the plans when they were built.
I have the plans.
Plans were
fine.
I was not. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much.
Verify that.
Was not my position at that time. But yes, that has been in discussion, Mr. Bertolite and some other ones. Mm-hmm. We discussed that, but of course, we cannot just go in and do it. On the public works side.
Yeah. Like we would like it.
It's really expensive.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? I mean, it's.
Is
it's
it partially because of the cobblestone stuff in there?
Well, yeah, all of those pavers would have to be removed. You'd end up excavating out that area where the curb and gutter is.
Re-pour.
And then you'd have to re-pour the curb and gutter in the sidewalk, and then you'd have to find pavers that match the
how
ones that you have, or put in new pavers, or you pour it with stamped concrete.
Stamped
which then
concrete is better.
It ends up being a huge cost for something that is... I'm going to say functional.
Yeah, it's just inconvenient.
When we're really actually looking at putting in new improvements and fixing drainage issues. It's really not part of the sidewalk improvement.
And everybody's going to say, well, when you did all this, why didn't you fix this corner? Because I'm down here all day long, I hear people say, why did you people put those in? Why? They drive over the curb. They drive over the curb here. Their question is going to be, if you're making everything else so nice, why are you leaving that one bottleneck? And I love the bulb outs because they did what they were intended to do and slow traffic down. I really like them. But these two are a bit of a hazard. And I understand that it's expensive.
Yeah, there is other ways, Tim, that we can...
But
I mean, I understand that isn't part of your scope project.
Right.
That's something
that's
that we can deal with it at a
well, we look at the rest of Coast Street and see crosswalks.
Because you're not
going to
be changing these new sidewalks or anything anyways.
Mm-hmm. The way it will be good.
It's something that, yes,
sidewalks,
to address.
Sidewalks and then an additive if we can get it. You know, because really, at the end of the day, the concept of the project is building sidewalks in a stretch and on this stretch. Anything else is gravy. That's kind of how I look
right,
at it.
That's
but
true.
I'm not going to ignore it if we have the opportunity. And so my approach is going to be included in the survey, included in the design of an additive, and if we have the money, great. And if we don't, we did our best, and we have a design.
Mm-hmm.
So money can come along another day. We'll peel that piece of the project off and do it as part of another project. So.
Well, Tim, we budgeted a little bit of money for sidewalk patchwork generally in the district. And you might talk to Ted about the connection to the library and whether or not he might have any resources.
The library? That'd come out of the general fund, wouldn't it?
Well, they also have their own, what I want to call it, an endowment, but their own
foundation,
I think it's probably better. Okay. I don't know. It's just worth it. It's just worth connecting up with.
Well, that, like I was telling Tim, that stretch is a very important stretch because we've already had problems with the blind and stuff on this. Has been an issue that was brought up. There were some promises made 2 years ago and they still haven't been fulfilled. So it's kind of a touchy.
Well, it does look like one of those, it should be done. I mean, wherever the money comes from. Yes. Yeah.
The biggest problem is going to be contacting the owners. I've already tried to call this guy. And
somebody who actually lives there?
I don't know. I know the property owner's name, and I have his phone number, but nobody ever answers. And so what often happens in this stuff, it's been my experience, is that, you know, you have plan A, and then plan B, and plan C, and plan D. And so my plan A is to try and run it through here. My plan B is to also contact these owners and possibly run it through here. And if this stalls out because I can never get a hold of the guy and get permission to do work, I'd probably go to plan B. You know, you sort of have to set that up because we're working with private parcels. Some people live in another state, in another country, and trying to get a hold of those people to do work, which would involve regrading the entire front yard of that property. I mean, it could be an abandoned house. I'm not sure. There's power to it, and it's functional. He has power.
Are the taxes being paid?
I didn't look into that. I know there's electricity going to the building and the meter's running, so I'm inclined to think that somebody's using the building for something. And the guy is 88 years old, the owner. I know this too.
Oh, gee.
So if we can get it through there, that'd be fantastic. If we can't, I'm going to go to utility billing and see if he's got an alternate phone number. I'm going to track it down to the police department and see if he's got an alternate phone number. This is the key for this stretch, this guy right here.
That would be so unfortunate to lose that whole sidewalk because of this property owner, because going across the street, and I'm thinking of my deaf blind friend Robert, you know, this is a tough cross.
It's terrible.
We'd have to put it right here. This is the very top of the hill. I already figured out where we do it. You want the sight distance to be so people coming up in both directions can see you, and the only place to do that is right here. It actually ties into the driveway of this place. I'm trying to think about where the driveway
this
is. I think
place has this big driveway right here.
Yeah, it ends up right in the corner of one of these guys' driveways. And it goes right across there, right at the tippy top of the hill. That's where a mid-block crossing would have to be. I'd prefer not to do that if we can help it. But that's where it would have to be.
For all of these improvements, is there any cost to any homeowners for this, or is this all going to be paid?
This is not a local improvement district, so this is covered under the funding that we've identified with the CRP already. You know, the taxing district is part of the parking district and all the property. I mean, if you think about it that way, you know, the businesses in the Night Beach area are contributing to it.
That piece there, we should have at least 5 feet easement through there anyways. Now, whether that was ever done, I have no idea, Tim. On that situation of the property there.
We should have 5 feet easement for what?
Four sidewalks.
We got a time check. We're going to probably move to the other items on the agenda.
Okay. I will, you don't need me for next stuff, I don't think.
Please, no.
You want to hang on? You're keeping check, Dave.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
Bye, Tim.
Okay.
You guys pick on each other a lot, don't you?
She is.
Okay, time parking signs. The, what we had was the installation of 3-hour parking, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. I passed on that. You've got all that right, Dave, in terms of the locations: Northwest Coast Street, east side from West Olive to Northwest 6th.
One situation there is we would prefer that goes to 4-hour so that we stay more or less to our kind of our standards.
A little more consistent.
Consistent. Deal.
Anything else? Is there a particular reason for 3 hours?
Just months of meetings of agonizing. Yes.
Over 3 hours or 4 hours?
Well, 2 hours, 3 hours, yeah. Or 4 hours.
Yeah. We felt that the 2 hour was too short and the 4 hour kind of stopped movement.
Right. In our aspect, to be a little bit more consistent with what we deal with everywhere else. 2 hour or 4 hour is what we would like to stay with.
Wow. We have a huge issue in Nye Beach with employees parking on Coast Street. And if they're given a 4 hour block, then it's not really going to...
That's almost their shift time.
It's not going to prevent them from parking.
That's something basically that we can't on our side of it, on the street side of it, we can't prevent.
What about 2 hours?
That would be something that you're...
2 hours doesn't give a guest long enough to have lunch and shop a little bit, and we certainly aren't trying to discourage guests from from being in Night Beach.
Well, yeah, one of the big deals about this was getting the employees and some of the business owners off the street. And if we give them 4 hours, they'll
That's
park
long enough
for six.
To stay there till lunch and come back and park in another spot and stay the rest of the day.
I kind of came up with one situation on that because I know we're dealing with the same problem that they've had. You have a little smaller district, and I don't know why we have not utilized the Cliff Street.
Thank you.
The grassy area that's right.
We spent a fair amount of time talking with Jim Protiva at the last meeting, and there's some reasons for it. In particular, we have a performing arts center with a fairly large improved lot that's sitting there within a half block that's entirely suitable. So given the limited funds we have available to us in this district, even looking at doing parking improvements is a challenge. The amount of funding that the district can generate, which is about $8,500 a year, and they've just, to do these sidewalk projects, tapped every available dollar out of the general parking fund that Night Beach is eligible for. They don't really have the resources to try to tackle, to add additional parking spaces. It's more about getting people to the right parking spaces. And so that's what the strategy has been. That's why the timed parking signs, in addition with parking passes and pavement striping and the sidewalk work.
Well, what I was looking at is for what you would do if you use that as an employee parking area. I know it's a short walk for some, but it's all gravel, everything else. We've cleaned it off, I don't know how many times, but it's not being utilized.
Well,
it's an area.
Also, I understand Jim's point of view. We have so many people right now who pack the lot just to get to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any signs that really tell them where the beach access is. They'll park in front of my spot and then hoof it to the beach, not realizing they can go to the turnaround until they already get down there.
Right.
That lot is full every single day. So just to get some of the tourists to even park in that instead of parking on the side streets would be a great thing.
Yeah.
And also we had actually talked about trying to do that.
We did.
Suggesting. And we really like the idea.
Yeah. We just want half
we just don't have the money.
Well, that's what I mean. There wouldn't be any, I don't see where you would be having to.
Under the city's parking, our own parking codes, the ones that we apply to any private development and all of that, you trip over 5 parking spaces, you're into a paved surface under our parking codes. So you have to pave, you have to do the full improvement, and that gets pretty expensive. And Jim's point, Jim Pertiva's point, and it's a fair point, is that's actually park property.
Mm-hmm.
It is dedicating a chunk of that permanently to parking is a broader conversation in terms of the park's future and things of that nature, and that's one of the points he made.
Okay, I understand that aspect then.
But
and so we'd run into the same issue with High Street if there was a way that we could put any sort of parking or anything in there.
What's on High Street?
Well, where the skateboard park is,
mm-hmm.
the adjacent lot that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, yes, that is still county. But there could be some issues there that if the proper people got together, that there may be a possibility that county might be interested in doing something there.
Mm-hmm. Although we had thought that by striping 3rd Street all the way up, that would improve the parking, because people don't park there because they don't know they can. I think striping this for parking would be a better option than trying to create another parking lot over at the skateboard park.
And striping from
Northwest
Drive to Spring Street.
To Spring.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%, but not until the sidewalks are put in.
Well, we could stripe this side.
Yeah.
Stripe the south side.
Yeah.
All the way up.
Okay, but your problem is from right here all the way up. You can't get out of your car. I mean, the driver can get out of the car, but a passenger cannot get out of the car.
Right. But they can figure that out.
Well.
Yeah. If you're an employee,
you're
and
probably
you're the only
one
in the car,
in
then that's
car.
Okay.
Right.
That's what we're trying to encourage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you have to look at our issue. I'm coming from, right. I'm coming from right. the city issue. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't cure, excuse me, but stupid.
We know. Yeah.
We actually have a diagonal
you know,
too.
Yeah.
Doing that on one side of the street only. And then you don't have to worry about that, but that doesn't work either. We've talked about one way on Third. Make it one way the whole way.
We've decided not.
We've talked about
that. Probably didn't go very far, did it?
Brainstorming.
Yeah,
all kinds of ideas.
Thanks for stopping.
Right. Kind of back to the signage, though. So your thought is you just from a maintenance and replacement perspective, you're trying to stick to 2 and 4 so that the sign inventory doesn't get to be too complicated. Is that the angle? I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
No, I would go with 2.
I wouldn't. That's not enough time.
We'll go with 2 and have the enforcement officer not come by any more than once every 3 hours.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, where was he on Saturday?
The question is how often does he come by, Dave?
Yeah.
You know,
So 3 hours.
Experience is that when whatever your time limit is on parking, especially if it's on the short end, that's not really the exact interval that they get checked at. That you have 2 hour parking.
I can imagine that to be true, but you still can't suggest to somebody that they can only be there.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you want to ask for enforcement different than, but in actuality, when you say 2 hour parking, typically isn't getting checked at 2 hour intervals.
Yeah. When does what days does the enforcement guy work?
I think it rotates, but I assume it does.
If it's as it was, they can work 7 days a week, any hours.
Because that's contracted out now.
Yes.
Yeah, last summer.
Because there was no enforcement person on Saturday.
Last summer was a little bit different. This is our first full year. Mm-hmm. Well, no, last summer we did get it late in the season. They bounce their hours around so that people can't figure out when they're going to be out and game the system. I think you've got to be really careful. If you say 2 hours, you've got to plan on it being a 2 hour enforcement window, mm-hmm. because to do otherwise isn't fair to the motorist public. Yeah, you know, there's wiggle room, but tell people, well, it's actually only checked every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. They'll stretch it out to 4, and then they'll get mad if they get
pinched.
I think we have to do what we say and say what we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Judge Pridgen isn't going to.
No.
He's going to say, by God, it was 2 hour parking, and that's the way it is.
Well, that's what the law says.
Right. But in the situations you have down there, also, you have such a unique situation at Night Beach. Because you do have the restaurants, you have your businesses there, and plus you have the beach access there. 2 hour is going to be pretty tough for people. If you factor in, okay, what, an hour to eat, maybe. They want to mill around the shops a little bit or whatever, another half hour to 45 minutes. And then what if they want to take a walk on the beach after they get done eating? I understand our parking lot's there, but it's awful small too. Mm-hmm. Can only hold so many people.
Yeah, 4 hours. So. 4 hours would still be an issue for employees, I would think. I mean, I don't know why they would want to park in a 4 hour if they're. I mean, their
so
shifts
they don't
are.
Have to walk.
Well, no, I'm just thinking that the risk of, I mean, getting ticketed. They're still going to be at risk of getting ticketed. I can't imagine that. Most shifts are enough under 4 hours that somebody could get in there, park, and get back out.
It means that we really have to self-police it and watch the folks.
Yeah, that was.
And that's easy
say.
For me watching. I see the same people parking all the time between Olive and my place, and they walk 2 stores down and go to work.
Mm-hmm. And I think the whole point, though, of having signage is so that we don't have to self-police it. I don't think that should be any of our job to do that. I think we're business owners, and we're trying to put forth a positive spin.
So they've done in Corvallis. Corvallis, the city of, has actually made it that you cannot park there, and you'll be ticketed if you're an employee.
So that's where a permit things come in.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gone that way to double charge somebody. If you're an employee and you get ticketed, you pay twice or something. I don't know.
Well, you guys have a business association, don't you?
But not
we all get together.
We don't all get together.
Yeah, not everybody's involved.
It's like all of us are here. Are
there are certain people that are chronically, you know, abuse it. And you can talk till you're blue in the face. And if they are not going to be on your side of the thinking about it, then there's nothing really that you can do besides have some kind of signage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed like the business owners have the most power, except if you have somebody, a business owner around the corner who's happy to park in front of yours.
Yeah. Well, they'll park in front of theirs.
There's some that'll park right in front of their own.
They do every day.
They just don't have the sense to know that they're hurting their own business.
Right.
It's hard to understand, though.
Yeah.
We talked about the maps, and it would seem that the maps would be one of our main tools because it'll help those of us who are active, but it'll also go out and give a clue to those who aren't as active. It's more of a passive way of helping out.
Yeah. And for your benefit, Dave and Mike, we've talked a little bit about recognizing that outreach will be needed, you know, in advance of the signs actually being enforced. So, I mean, we're just trying to get a schedule right now in terms of when you know, could you guys install the signage so that we can start to map out, okay, how much lead time do we need to plug into this for outreach with different merchants? And we also have the rearview mirror door hanger type tags for B&B residents and things, so there'll be an exemption, kind of like they do in Bayfront. We went over the one they have for the vendor exemption in Bayfront. It'd be structured similarly for B&B residents
and residents who
and
live
homeowners
and have no off-street parking.
I don't really see an issue there, except for it's going to eliminate me from other projects, but I can work on that because Mr. Vodenberg send it on these issues that I can get some help. I'd have to run that by him. I can't speak until I get the definite go ahead on that. One of the things that would slow us down on this would be the signings that Mike has to make. Mm-hmm. You know, we do in-house, we do a lot of our signings in-house.
I have the materials.
Yeah. Saves money.
And stuff like that. So I don't really see much of an issue because we're not talking that much.
Yes,
signage
the,
actually.
The biggest deal is putting in the anchors and really
right.
Take a little bit of time to get the posts in. You know,
yes,
order
yes.
them in, but
and yet because you have to remember that we have to get our locates, which that's a 3-day process.
Right.
It's
now, this is a lot of posts.
Everything puts us back.
And I was at Sacred Cafe the other day having lunch, and they have a 2-hour parking sign in front of Savory, and it says, like, from this side of the sign or something like that. But there are two houses beyond that sign that's unlimited parking. There were people who came to go to the beach. They parked their car on the north side of that 2-hour parking sign, and they parked there all day long. They went to the beach.
Sure.
So with our parking, you know, with our resident parking things, we should be able to take that sign all the way to the corner for our timed parking, and then the residents who live there have their little...
Well, you just don't put from this side anywhere.
Right, it'd be, you know, this block probably.
I was down to Nye Beach Market 3 or 4 times this weekend because I provide the lunches I picked up from my vendors. And the same 3 cars, a Mercedes and something else, were parked on the laundry side the entire day.
The entire day, yeah.
I don't know if
and it's not timed parking on that side of the street.
No, but it will be.
Which is probably.
It will be that.
Owners or employees.
Yeah. No, I'd like to know who had the Mercedes. It's very nice. He parked in the front so nobody could hit him.
Of course, one of our issues by doing, like we said, we'd have to do something because we still have to protect the property owners because they still have the right to have their
parking
also.
Well, that's why they
also.
Have a placard they hang.
Yeah,
and gives
which
them
we can't.
That's what we do.
That's what we would work on.
Yeah.
So I assume, you know, as part of the process, you'd do a little schematic up, kind of showing where the signs would be installed along these different streets. Is that something that could be brought back to this group? Just
right.
So we're all...
And try to utilize as much of the post as we already have if we can. Yeah. That will help tremendously.
Okay.
And is it possible to put one of the bus stop signs on one of the posts?
Oh, I would have imagined.
Yeah, we can squeak.
I really like to get that one off the stop sign at 2nd and
Coast. I didn't put it there.
Yeah, okay.
No, I didn't.
Pardon me for pointing at you.
I didn't do it.
Okay.
I don't have the strength to do that.
Was any of this directional part brought up on this wayfinding sign stuff? For like the directions to the beach access?
There is no beach access signage at all. And people come to Panache and it says Nye Beach. That says Don Davis Park, but neither of those say beach access.
Right.
People
yeah.
don't know. They'll park on 3rd and they'll walk all the way down the stairs.
Yeah, there's a few more wayfinding signs that we would do us well to have.
Yeah. Or they'll drive around endlessly.
Signage the way it came out.
Yeah, how come that? Well, there you go.
Yeah, thank
you.
People
drive
around. Finally get it. You know, it's better than no.
Is there one for beach access?
There is not one in the. I mean, there isn't one in the wayfinding.
Is there one but, generically used?
There's categories that it would fit into.
It was sure. Sure. Like to have that
at beach access.
At the parking.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a problem for us to make. As long as we got it.
Might be, I mean, that might be a white on brown sign, and so you know, I could get some brown EC film, which would be a good thing to kind of add in my inventory anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be good because I hear people crossing
yeah.
the
recreational, cultural
on coast and saying, I wonder how far the beach is.
Destination.
And if they just look west,
they see it. Can I borrow
this? Do you need some more?
With these? No, I think we're good.
Yeah,
you want it.
I've always kind of said that also because actual path at Don Davis Park is kind of hidden to an aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
And there is nothing that's really guiding them to that.
That would be very helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, finding the right locations for those signs.
There's a parking, now there's a parking one directed to Beach Drive so they could be added there. And you put the Welcome to Nye Beach by Panache so you can put the directionals there too.
Yeah. It just occurred to me somewhere else, for not necessarily signage, but we've developed some maps, some walking maps and some bicycling maps I know that are out there. And I don't know if on any of those maps there's any indication of beach access here or there. In further iterations of those, mm-hmm. that might help us
yeah.
to throw that out there sure. because mm-hmm. it's just another place to get passive signage. And
yeah. You're biking the Oregon coast or
yeah,
bike route,
route map,
and you
I'm
go
sure.
how do I get
a block from the beach.
Yeah.
From the
beach.
I mean, just, I know it's not
know
part of this,
there.
But it
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. occurs to me. That,
it's relevant.
That's an easy,
it's very relevant.
Easy thing.
That's really important.
We get a lot of people into the shop that really don't know how to get to the beach.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not marked.
That's interesting.
Or where parking is. Yeah. And when you yeah. watch people's behavior, they just kind of drive around, wandering around the area, looking for the closest spot.
And you see them dragging their coolers and their chairs, yeah. and they're going Cliff Street yeah. and down the stairs. It's like, oh, you poor people.
So yeah. they need to be able to see something from their vehicles, yeah. like the wayfinding thoughts yeah. that says beach access here
consistent
or there.
Consistent standard signage. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you can think about?
Yeah, absolutely. If Dave will let me think about it, I'll
mind control.
I don't mind him thinking about it. Yeah. Just don't do until you run it by me.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's it.
So I have to go to work here very soon, and we kind of left the timed sign issue, and what do we have to do? We have to not have it be 3 hours, so we have to make a decision.
We're just kind of saying we would prefer. I mean, we can make it up 3 hour, but on our standpoint, we just don't like everything scattered.
I can understand that.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to hear the discussion and hear that you didn't just pull that out of the air.
We've angsted about it for
a long time. Many meetings.
While there hasn't been a formal study done of the turnover in parking, you definitely have.
We know who parks where.
Yeah.
Dave, maybe that's a thought as we move forward, as the business districts develop into what they are, maybe that's a thought is to look at only having two or three options for a business district to choose from to minimize the amount of inventory and different stuff you're having. But I mean, because I can imagine Bayfront probably does have a 2 hour at parts of it, but I can imagine the outer or the 4 hours. It went to all 4 hours. But in the core part of the Bayfront, there may be some need to only have 2 hours in that. So if we just had a choice of either or, so each district could identify what is best for a by the block or, you know.
We definitely recognize that 2 hour and 4 hour are far more common, but we discussed it meeting after meeting after meeting with five of us, really coming to the conclusion that the best thing for Nye Beach would be some kind of compromise, that because we have this seemingly large employee parking issue.
Well, we have less than 100 on-street parking spots on Coast and 3rd and Beach Drive, and we have over 50 businesses. So if the business people park there, there is no customer parking at all.
So there's what seems to be a real issue there. With all of you, you guys are all business owners, of course, is trying to get all the business owners on the same page.
And even talking
to our employees, I kind of understand the ones that are bucking you. I've dealt with them all.
And I've asked my employees more than one time to not park on the street. And it takes 10 times before I can actually get them to not do it.
And I think part of the answer there is, besides asking them not to park on the street, telling them where to park.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And not you just can't park
here.
Vendors.
This is they all parked at the PAC. A few on the side streets. If there's a spot there, that's fine.
Right.
So, Dave, can we make three-hour work in Nye Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can. Yeah. I mean, it's not an issue of 3 or 4 or 2.
That would be so great.
That would be great, you know, because we have spent hours.
Yeah.
And there'll have to be an ordinance change.
Oh, yeah. There'll be paperwork.
You know, so there's paperwork there.
I mean, the good thing is it'll be consistent through that whole area.
That's
what, you know, what
we'll
can get difficult sometimes is where you have parts of blocks that are this and that and the other thing. And
yeah, 4 hour here, the right out of mid's a 3 hour.
We run into that situation, it's tough.
The patrol or the parking enforcement officer runs into problems there.
So I still would like a 15-minute in front of the bakery, and I don't know if that's a separate request that I should put in writing to you or to how that might happen, or if that's just not a good idea.
Something in writing would be good, because the process for that would be that that the Public Works Director recommends that the city manager signs the order.
He has the right to sign that.
Okay.
I will discuss that with him first, that we didn't just make it up, or
where will
this
she
is where it came from.
Where will she park?
Across the street of her house.
There again, for a little consistency, we have not very many. We have a few 10-minute parkings. We have quite a few 20-minute parkings.
So 20.
15 would
that.
Be, that would be a new one.
I was already told that 20 is already being used, and that would be a better approach.
Yeah. 10 is very short.
Yeah, too short.
10's too short if you're in line at Panini. You can't get through there.
You know, we have there's a 10 up in front of Montessori School because it's
loading
up. Drop off, walk your kid into the school and
Dave, do these streets all does this all clear in terms of the streets that the district's requesting be signed?
Yes. There was an issue with which one we had.
Yeah, the one issue, if you want to call it that, it kind of shows up on both of these lists. The north leg of Beach Drive, there is really only one legal parking space there on the street.
And that
That's
is?
That's what we're talking about. That is, you know, right, the one nearest Coast Street, because you have 20 feet back from the crosswalk. Mm-hmm. And then you have room for one parking stall, and then you have driveways.
That's true.
Now you have folks who can park in their driveway.
We have one owner who's really nasty about his parking.
You know, when I went through there yesterday, you know, looking at all this, you know, there's one that I think habitually parks on the street in front of his driveway. It's you know, you can get around, but it does kind of block you as you come
out.
As
you're coming up the hill, it's a small
Well, today I was late because I got behind the garbage truck.
If we mark parking spaces, I wouldn't mark that as a parking space. I'd mark that one parking space, which might be, you know, a good thing to show this is and that isn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, just be aware that the way I see it down there, there's only one legal parking space
on
that whole
right.
lake.
So we don't think that needs to be signed then.
So, I don't know, it still might be worthy of sign. I think it has 2-hour parking on it right now.
I think it's
mounted on a utility pole, which PUD, you know, hates.
Yeah.
But they have costs, yeah.
Torn it down.
But it's really, it's a little tight finding a place to put a post there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The spot's
only to set a post for one parking space.
That was something that we were trying to get away with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Away from.
Yeah, so it's kind
you
of
know, you can sign it to death.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sure. And then you don't see
on the other hand,
it takes everything.
That,
next
you know,
thing
maybe,
you're going to do is get a picture of your business or whatever.
If it needs to be signed, it needs to be signed. But
everything looks like who put all these
signs
up? It's also sort of a, you know, there's an apartment there.
Mm-hmm.
Or it used to be right there where that is. So.
There are how many apartments above you? Condos, like 4?
There are 3 up there. Yeah. And actually, 2 cars can get from the stop sign, you can get 2 cars before you get to the Queen of Hearts driveway.
But whether those would actually be legal spaces.
They're pretty small.
Yeah.
You can put 2 small cars.
Another issue that, like those condos that they put in there, not utilizing their own parking. That they were supposed to, I would imagine, when they were built.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using it.
Probably convenience-wise, they're parking on the street instead of...
I haven't. I really couldn't say.
Yeah, because Queen of Hearts probably isn't supposed to park there. Probably the condo people are supposed to park there.
I don't know that the condos provided any parking at all.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that's Karen's space. That driveway is hers.
So, Dave, what do you see as the next step here? Is it getting a schematic put together or maybe bringing it back to the group? I'm just trying to think in terms of timing for the next parking district meeting, if that would be the...
So then that way we could go ahead and Mike can walk it or whatever and make sure that he feels comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what do you think would be a reasonable time frame for doing that?
There you go.
Yeah?
And the ultimate question that we
all have. See, basically I only have 3 people, and of course Mike is pretty much my dedicated sign person. One other one is our sweeper person, which is another issue we're trying to take care of. That only leaves one other guy in the field.
I have 2 weeks, and then I'm on vacation for a week, the middle of August.
Right.
Oh, that's inconvenient.
That's real inconvenient.
Yeah.
Can you cancel your
vacation? It's inconvenient for a lot of people.
And so there's another issue I have to try to do this.
Yeah.
Because we'd like these signs up as soon as possible.
Like tomorrow,
of course.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow,
Mike. Okay, you betcha. We got her.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a couple of weeks to get posted. I mean, we have some posts, but I don't think...
I would say that we could very possibly... Well, the changing of the parking issue, that's not a problem. We can do that fairly fast.
The 3-hour? I mean,
no.
Putting in posts? Installing posts.
Installing posts. Because if you mark those, I can get those in for you.
The guys.
And the ones that are on existing posts already, is it possible to do a decal with a 3 on it and use the same sign, just stick the decal over the 2? Where we already have existing signs?
We don't really have that many
in
place. That's pretty nearly all unrestricted right now.
Right.
So they're on each.
So I don't think we really even have that many posts. There may be a few places where we can use an existing post. But.
Is the second week of August reasonable for coming back with a schematic drawing of what the game plan is so that we can, you know, coordinate and...
Right.
You know,
if we could start installing, if we got everything kosher and everything, we'd probably start installing the last week.
So that would be good
of
to
August.
Be able to come back and look at that.
That would give us time to get our ducks in a row in terms of
education.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
I have a question about striping. Can there be striping done on Beach Drive for parking or not?
Well, my question on Beach Drive and in Cliff Street was, you really want parking markings painted on the bricks.
Yes.
I mean, you can do
you
it.
Because you can get three cars, and what we do is have two who take three spots.
Well, Beach Drive, you really can't get three cars in there?
Yes, you can.
Well,
right in front of my business.
There are, whether you,
you can get
though,
three legal spaces in there, let's put it that. You get three small cars.
You get three cars.
Crammed in there, yeah, but you don't have...
So the biggest, painted,
this is the problem with painting with painting
spotters, we've come up with
parking space markings is then you have now you have standards,
right.
And sometimes what we find is that if they're really good for making the parking more orderly, they're not good for getting you more parking spaces. They're usually good for getting you less. Just the reality of it. The standards are,
and if there were three, they'd probably be
minimum
the most
20
feet more often.
On an end, because you have room to maneuver in and out. 22 to 26 feet interior for each one. So,
what was the first
and
number?
You have kind of 2.5, 20 feet.
Another issue that came there in that situation there. And we were dead against them, but those bollards, when they put those bollards in, those bollards basically took away a parking spot at each place.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd love to see those.
Personally, well, there you go. Personally, we can't just go take them out.
Yeah.
You guys get together.
We don't have funds.
We can't take them out.
We'd love to have lighting, but not where it is.
Oh, now you're going to a big issue.
Well, you take the ballot out, you still have to have the light someplace.
Yeah.
They should have been installed.
Yeah. Well, you don't find the poles there where they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we lost three parking spaces.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, because the spacing just gave you've got about 2.5 parking spaces between each one, is what you really got.
Oh, because they put the light standards out in the roadway as opposed to
instead
on the sidewalk.
Right, instead on the sidewalk and just screwed. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They did.
They did.
How's August 11th work for everybody? I'm trying to help Jody get out.
I really do have to go.
Could it be the 10th or the 9th?
You'll send it.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Deal, won't you?
Yeah, I'll send something out. I'm just, yeah. Wednesday, August 10th.
And real quick, also, the other one we
in the morning on the 10th will be okay.
How about 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock on the 10th.
Awesome. Perfect.
Don't we have a NYBE association at 9 o'clock?
We do.
You're right.
Thank you.
Oh,
shoot.
Okay.
Tuesday, possible?
I can.
Tuesday the 9th?
You know, generally there's not much for me to do.
Yeah, then you can meet up here.
Okay, we can do that.
Real quick, before you end this, though, we would like to discuss Alpine Street.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, 6th Street between Coast and Alpine.
Yeah.
West of Coast.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, they park on both sides of that old street.
They do. I really hate to paint parking space markings there and encourage people to park there.
Because
it's narrow, because of the ambulance service, because...
The guys say ambulance comes off of Coast Street.
We understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're looking at personnel coming in and out.
Yeah,
they use the side entrance coming off of 6th Street.
It's probably some of them who park over there, and it's like it's not illegal to do it, but
you don't want to make it appear
when you put paint parking space markings. Then you've defined what's left as traveled way, which isn't going to be much.
Well, if we didn't do Alpine, could we get a trade for you to go all the way up 6th to the corner? What is it, Ocean View comes in?
Yeah, all the way to Spring Street.
Mm-hmm.
To stripe everything.
To stripe everything. All the way up.
Oh, everything
six,
on Coast Street.
On
up
Coast
up
Street.
Six
yeah. Because we
two.
Need those
trade
large spaces
easy.
To send our employees.
Well, we never did get to that when we did the overlay
was it
down
the
there.
List?
We had
yeah.
never got
to go up that way. Of course, we took out a bunch of, limited parkings up there.
We'd
be happy. Yeah, we'd love to have the upper North Coast Street striped.
I'd be much happier marking
and
that than
be
I
happy
would.
To leave.
Yes.
That's a trade.
Yes.
That's a great trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make us happy.
We've got three really great businesses now with Savory, Nye Beach Market, and Dolph Sweets. You go down there at 6 o'clock at night and there's no place to park. It's really nice.
Which is nice because
it's
that means
great.
It's busy, but people don't go that extra block because they don't really can.
Right. And they're starting to because there's no place else, but it's just sporadic.
And then on the painting issue on that, you'll have to forgive our timing on that because we have a whole city.
Oh.
And we have a very, very short,
short window.
Weather-wise. But if we can block out, get everything organized and everything's a go, we can come in and I can pick out hopefully a week or 3 days or whatever to get the painting done.
That'd be great.
Of course, like I said, it's weather permitting.
Yeah.
And Dave, because water-based paint, we are working on some issues here, of course, with some thermal, but...
We like the idea of that machine. That makes
the We're going to have a demo on it the 5th of August, because I want to demo one before I ever purchase one.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
But the issue there is, too, is there's no change in one since then.
You have to grind it. You have to grind it.
So if you've done the bayfront with that the first time,
and that doesn't
really
go down
trouble,
as fast
huh?
as paint does.
That's
so,
because if not, I'm going to come to you guys as association meeting and say, if you want to change.
They probably advertise
it has to be.
It really depends on where it is and kind of where it gets.
Traffic pattern. Did we have we did budget funds for the additional striping work, so we should coordinate. So there's some additional resources there. That's
right. That was another thing I can discuss that with you guys. Is the
crosswalks?
How are we covering poles?
Worn in it in
new poles
in 2-3 years
for the signs. Yeah, I was working off an estimate that you put together for Meredith.
Okay,
but. What you can do with the others is you can patch those spots, and the rest of it is still good.
And of course, you guys are okay. Okay
so,
with that.
Right.
Also, we'll just need
account. Cost savings.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was saying also saving money, also utilizing the poles that we have.
The biggest thing for
as
me
much
is
as we possibly can.
The level of service.
Yeah, you bet.
Because they're there.
Okay.
Good
and paint? Did we have paint?
Tend to wear out.
I'll have to look and see what we budgeted for the
yeah.
paint.
Okay. You can't fix them.
What might happen there is if we purchase
the
thermoplastic machine, which we will purchase one. I just want to make sure this is what we want. Is the thermoplastic material?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really got an accurate price on that just yet. What it is, it's a bunch of little plastic beads like your beanbag chairs.
But it's permanent.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's
that's
great. You put it down, it's going to be there for.
That's why that we did the parking section down on the bayfront to kind of show.
Yeah.
The difference.
Those were markings that you buy them. I mean, it's a thermoplastic, but.
We melt them down.
They're, they come in pieces in that.
Oh, so that's what you've done.
3 foot length by whatever width. You lay it down.
That wasn't what you did.
Melt it down with the torch.
No.
And there it is. So the.
Thank God.
The diagonal parking spaces down the bayfront that we
there was a
fixed
little
oversight
angle
from what the contractor put in.
We were dealing with state.
The crosswalks, all four directions at Nye and Olive. That what have those been down there? 2 years now?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years.
Oh, that's the plastic stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at that.
I will.
That's nice stuff.
Okay.
Very good.
So, that's by the library.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a good example.
For Tuesday the 9th, then, at 9 a.m., I have a review, a schematic for the sign installation, and maybe just a check-in on striping. And as part of the review of the schematic, we can talk some more about our outreach program.
Yeah. Let's see if we can maybe have a map.
So we're at Tuesday now. Good.
Tuesday the 9th.
You know, but maybe what I can do is just bring in something rough and we can identify where the parking, the employee parking area should be, and then we can do a refined map, based on that, because I'm going to be out next week, all of next week, so.
Derek, we have a staff meeting.
Tuesday?
Tuesday mornings from, 8:30 to 9:30, whatever.
Okay. So do we need to push that a little bit later?
If we could maybe push that to 9:30, would be a safety factor if that doesn't hurt too much.
Okay, 9:30.
I contacted Jody because she goes to work at 10, and so do you. I don't work. not to either.
I work all the time. But I have somebody else.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't understand why I'm so tired.
All right, we'll push it to 9:30.
Well, we can try to, we can try to overview things too. Yeah. So.
Okay.
So here, 9:30?
Here at 9:30.
Okay.
And on the other issues there too, as I'm not being difficult, I have to try to coordinate like with Tim what his plans are. Say like with sidewalks and stuff like that. If I see an issue where I don't want to waste material or anything like this, if we're going to come in and possibly tear it up in a short time, I would like to have all this coordinated.
And that makes total sense.
Yep. Yeah,
which, yeah. Like you said, we're going to do a walkabout.
Yeah, good.
Awesome.
Because he's coming from an engineering point, and we come from the...
The street point.
The actual realism point.
Yeah.
And another issue, too, just to put on record if it comes up in your association or whatever, is yes, we are aware of the concrete that's broke out at the manhole. And we will be getting to that.
Oh, oh, right at the, inside the arch? Yeah. What about that silly plate?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I talked to, I think, Mike about that. That plate, is there any way to fasten that plate down over by the gas standard at
the West cover Coast? Over there for that water
Wall. Because that keeps shifting.
It does. It's dangerous.
I'm having a hard time moving it back. But it'll shift. If somebody makes a turn or does something, it'll shift.
That's
three to eight inches.
Like they're driving on the sidewalk.
Well, they'll make a turn and they'll just clip
Correct.
It
we
and it'll push it back.
We did some repair on that. That's a Lanny deal.
Yeah. So I got to go yellow
it's a
Lanny.
Water thing, yeah.
Just give them a hard time.
You know.
Yeah. No, it's just, I worry about it being...
Valve needs repaired, and that just comes from my aspect, but I'm not going to step on Lanny's toes on it, so...
it is a bit of a hazard for us, because not only a tripping hazard, but I've seen it move, I saw it move a good 8 inches, and a kid had fall into that,
then
we're hanging out big
time. I was one that set it back on last time.
I think you did it.
Holy crime.
Yeah, I had to have a framing hammer that I could use to lift it. Scared the hell out of everybody.
I know, that's another issue. Just keep jumping on Lee or Jim.
Yeah. Or work your way up the ladder until you